On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Surprise, back in studio, back on WTMJ Live over the airwaves. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us on this lovely November the 14th. This is my lucky number day, 14. 14 is my lucky number, in case you're wondering. Anyway, we've not got a lot to talk about. We talked about it a lot in the last couple of podcast episodes. If you only listen live on WTMJ, don't worry. On weeks that we're off, I always try to put a show up on the podcast feed that's just recorded only, audio only. Brewers All Access is the name of the podcast feed. And we got a couple of episodes already up over the last couple of weeks. Now we're back here live on WTMJ. We will be live again next week, too. We will not be live the week of Thanksgiving, but I've got a fun episode in the works for that one. It's going to be a year-in-review type game, and then we are going to have near Christmas, I want to say like right around the 20th or so, maybe a little before that, I should have the Games of the Year countdown ready to go. I did this last year, too. It's a big, long project for me, getting all the highlights, recapping the stories and all the games where we pick the top 10 games of the year. And just hear the highlights, just relive them. That'll be in December. So we'll have a year in review show coming up in a couple of weeks, but we are live here Thursday night, 8 o'clock tonight and next week. Let's get into some headlines, shall we? And as we speak, right now, Major League Baseball is announcing their all MLB teams, you know, like all NFL or all pro, if you will, or all NBA, same thing. So Major League Baseball initiated this back in 2019. There's been only one Brewer to make it on a first team or second team all MLB, and that was Christian Yelich in 2019. So we're expecting to see William Contreras be a catcher all MLB at some point this evening. It's like they're doing it like a full, you know, if you watch the NFL Honors show, you know, like it's supposed to be like the same thing where it's like, hey, we're going to drag this out and fill a couple of hours. Roy Woods Jr. is hosting, the comedian. He's pretty funny. And they got some MLB Network talent there at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas. So I imagine that news will come out while we're on the air. And by the way, because we're live, you can interact with us here live. You can tweet me as well at Dom_Catronio. That's DOM_CotronEO, Cotronio. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, it is 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. I'm not over on the other app yet. We'll talk about that later in the show for all the exodus on social media, my thoughts on that anyway. But let's get to a couple of other headlines. We're also going to talk a little bit about what next week's qualifying offer deadline means for the Brewers. There's also another under-the-radar deadline with that that comes with next Tuesday that we need to talk about that doesn't quite get pub until day of, so I want to put that on your radar because we won't talk until that deadline has passed again. And then furthermore, let's talk about potential third base options and what the Brewers could be looking ahead to for 2025. Let's start things off with headlines since the last time we talked. Platinum Glove, Bryce Tarang. Congratulations to Bryce. He is the National League winner of the Platinum Glove, which is given to the highest defender. There is a fan vote aspect of it, but there is also some analytics that go involved into this. I'll break this down a little bit later on in the program. This was in a Twitter thread I put last week. I'll explain it here for the audio and for the radio audience here to say why he was very, very, very deserving of the Platinum Glove, which you watched Bryce Tarang this season. You know how great he was. So that happened since the last time we recorded an episode. The next thing that happened since the last time we recorded an episode, yesterday, William Contreras was named a Silver Slugger Award winner for the second consecutive year. He is still the only Brewers catcher to have won the Silver Slugger Award. Yep, Jonathan Lucroy never won one, which is still shocking to me. Nonetheless, it gave me a chance to just sit back and look at the final slash line of William Contreras, because when you're finally in the offseason and when you're talking about your team to other teams that maybe, you know, in the playoffs, when I'm bouncing around in the American League, people are always asking about the Brewers. Like, man, what a year. How crazy was that? You kind of, yeah, you know, fell short, whatever. And then when you actually kind of sit back and look, William Contreras' year was insane. 281 batting average as an everyday catcher, a 365 on base, a 466 slug, an 831 OPS, career highs, 23 homers, career high, 92 runs batted in, a career high. And while playing hurt for the last month and a half of the season or so, playing through all the nagging injuries that a catcher plays through at that point in the season. So a well-deserved Silver Slugger Award for William Contreras. Another couple of award announcements, which were not a surprise. We previewed these last week. But Jackson Churio was officially named a top three finalist for the National League Rookie of the Year. That is a Baseball Writers Association of America award, which is why it's not being announced tonight. Tonight's an All MLB award. And then Pat Murphy, of course, has been nominated for Manager of the Year for the National League. Awards week is next week on MLB Network. There's an award every night. And Monday night, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is Rookie of the Year. Tuesday night is Manager of the Year. Wednesday night is Cy Young. And then Thursday night, I believe, is MVP. I just know that Manager is Tuesday, and I'm pretty sure Rookie usually goes first. So we'll look forward to that next week. We'll see. I think it's pretty much a consensus in the national media that Churio is going to be third. But I'm really excited to see how many second-place votes he gets. I'm very intrigued to see who has the guts to do that. Next up, this was a small headline today, but the Brewers announced all the first pitch times for 2025 on their home schedule, that is. And one of the updates that I'm all for is all Monday through Thursday games, not just during the school year, not switching it over to the summertime. All Monday through Thursday home night games. They're playing a night game on a Monday through Thursday on a weeknight. It is going to be a 6:40 first pitch. I'm all for it. All for it. Let's get everybody in and out a little bit quicker. I think it's great. And then in the first 2 months of the season, Wednesday or Thursday day games, you know, those getaway days, those will be 12 o'clock first pitches, 12:10. Again, get it in, get it out. I'm all for it. And no problems, no qualms with that at all. All of that is available on Brewers.com. And then finally, one last headline is the Tampa Bay Rays. The Brewers are visiting the Rays this year, but no, it will not be at the Trop. It is officially going to be George Steinbrenner Field there in Tampa, the spring training home of the New York Yankees. So this is obviously caused by Hurricane Helene and tearing off the roof, which was overdue for upgrades and everything. But the Brewers are going to play in a minor league stadium. Spring training, essentially, but it also hosts the Tampa Tarpons. That's the Florida State League, high A affiliate of the Yankees as well. So there's going to be two minor league ballparks in action in the 2025 season. Of course, the Oakland Athletics are temporarily displaced in Sacramento right now. And then now Tampa Bay is going over to George Steinbrenner Field. So that's your headlines. Let's go ahead and talk about the qualifying offer and next week's reserve wire. I'll talk about that next. Here on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Back live here on WTMJ. Talking Brewers here on a Thursday night on a dreary day in Milwaukee. Thanks for joining us. So MLB, all MLB stuff being announced as we speak. They are bouncing all over the place as far as how they're announcing all this stuff. So they went outfielders first and second team. They've done third baseman first and second team. They've done second base. They've done shortstop. They have not yet got to catcher, pitcher. They've named the relievers of the year, too. So we're still waiting on William Contreras. And no, Jackson Churio was not named all MLB outfielder. That, of course, the first team was Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Mookie Betts. No surprise. Second team was Jackson Merrill, Jaron Duran, Teoscar Hernandez. No surprise there. Shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. and Francisco Lindor. Again, their top three MVP candidates. Second base, Ketel Marte and Jose Altuve. Again, no surprise. Ketel's top three MVP candidate. Third base, Jose Ramirez and Manny Machado. Yeah, I mean, this no surprises here, no qualms. Nothing to make a big deal about. Let's talk a little bit about next week's qualifying offer and the deadline that that comes with. So, in case you're not familiar with the qualifying offer, I think I've explained it in every pod to this point, but in case you're not familiar, let's talk about it again briefly. The qualifying offer is meant to be a little bit of balance and give a chance for small market teams to give a fair offer for 1 year to a player they may not be able to afford in free agency. On the player's perspective, they can only be offered it one time in their career, and it cannot be offered in a year that they've changed teams, i.e. they've been traded. So Jack Flaherty is not eligible for a qualifying offer, even though he's never received one. The qualifying offer itself is a one-year deal of the average 100 salaries, top 100 salaries in Major League Baseball. And it comes out, I believe it's 20.8 this year, something really highest number it's ever been. The qualifying offer is essentially a one-year $20 million guarantee. And if the player declines that qualifying offer, then signs a bigger deal elsewhere, then the team that loses that player gets draft pick compensation in one of the quote-unquote sandwich picks of next year's draft, meaning the sandwich picks are the picks that are either competitive balance, you know, based on market size, so the Brewers always get a pick there, or like the Oakland A's or, you know, these small market teams get competitive balance picks. And then you get these picks that the Brewers actually acquired in a trade last year from the Orioles in competitive balance in the Corbin Burns deal. So assuming Willy Adames departs and signs a bigger deal elsewhere, the Brewers would receive a competitive balance pick. And in doing so, the team that signs Willy Adames would lose a pick in that following year's draft. So that's also attached to the player there. All of that to preface the fact that Tuesday's the deadline for the players to decide if they want to opt in to the qualifying offer. Now, generally speaking, one or two players every year accepts the qualifying offer, and everyone else rejects it. And I'm 1,000% certain Willy Adames is going to reject that qualifying offer. So why even bring it up? Well, there's another day that comes with that next Tuesday, and that is the deadline for the reserve list, meaning that's the deadline to decide what players on your minor league farm system you are going to protect on the 40-man roster from the Rule 5 draft. Now, that's a whole other convoluted story. I direct you to MLB's glossary on the origins of the Rule 5 draft. But basically, it empowers the player in order to say, hey, you're a talented draftee of X team. You cannot be just buried in the minor leagues, not being put on the 40-man roster, because if another team wants to pluck you before your 6 years are up, then the only way they cannot do that is if you're on the 40-man roster. So that's something to keep in mind for next Tuesday. The Brewers' 40-man roster currently sits at 36. So they have four spots available to put in. Remind you, nobody's on the 60-day IL right now. You cannot create space on the IL, or excuse me, on the 40-man by putting guys on the IL. You do it by cutting guys. So there are maybe some guys lower on that 40-man roster that are on the ropes. But when you look at who's eligible to be picked in this year's Rule 5 draft that the Brewers would want to protect, it's not nearly as deep as it has been in years past where it's like, oh my gosh, you have to protect Jefferson Carroll. Oh my gosh, you have to protect so-and-so, right? It's not as deep. Now, I think a slam dunk guy that's going to be protected next week is Logan Henderson. Logan Henderson is a star starting pitching prospect. He is a top 10 prospect in the Brewers organization. He is a starting pitcher. He made it all the way up through Double A this year. He had a fantastic season. He missed some time early in the year with an oblique strain, but good to see him back pitching well. I expect him to be protected. Another name that you might see brought up is Chad Patrick. He made it up to Triple A last year too, pitched well. Again, because they have the roster flexibility to do so, I imagine they protect him. Then it gets a little interesting. The name Coleman Crow may not ring a bell to you, but Coleman Crow was acquired from the Mets in the Adrian Hauser, Tyrone Taylor trade at the start of last year. And he was recovering from Tommy John surgery all year. He went to the Arizona Fall League. He is due to be protected on the Rule 5 draft. Now, you can choose not to protect somebody like Coleman Crow and just kind of roll the dice saying, I don't think any other team is going to pick up this guy. And you could be right, and that happens more often than you think. Or you can protect him and just keep your ducks in a row and say, we want to keep an eye on this guy. For me, that's the Bradley Blaylock situation from last year. Remember, Bradley Blaylock pitched in a couple of games this season for the Brewers. He was acquired in the Luis Urias deal to the Red Sox 2 years ago. They had to protect him on the 40-man. They did so. He pitched a couple of games in case of emergency. Then he was traded to the Rockies in the Nick Mears deal. So you just never know how it's all going to work out. And then, in case you're wondering, well, what about Jacob Izurawski, Dom? He's not even eligible to be picked on the Rule 5 draft this year, so he doesn't need to be protected on the 40-man roster. But there's a chance that he makes his big league debut at some point in 2025, and thus you would have to put him on a 40-man roster. Hope all that made sense. You can add four spots. You can fill up your 40-man if you so wish, but then that makes things a little complicated come winter meetings time, come trade deadline season, when you decide what you want to do. Speaking of that, let's talk about third base. Let's talk about what the Brewers could be thinking over there for the left side of their infield. Brewers Weekly rolling on. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, it is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I'm Dom Cutronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. Let's talk a little bit about what the Brewers could be getting ready to do on the left side of the infield. Now, this entire segment prefaces on the assumption that Willie Adames is not returning. Okay, so let's just slide that over. Hey, what's the plan next? A lot of folks would just assume Joey Ortiz is going to go to short, which I think is the accurate assessment, and that leaves a hole at third base. You can do a variety of things. I don't think Brock Wilkin will be ready. He's not going to be really a factor, I think, in 2025. You could reheat the Sal Frelick experiment at third base, thinking about what could be, you know, a chance that a healthy Garrett Mitchell, a healthy Christian Yelich, a healthy Jackson Churio, like that's your outfield. Sal Frelick can play third base and against a right-handed pitcher. And then you've got Blake Perkins as an extra outfielder available to you. That's certainly an option. But what about outside of the organization? Are there candidates that the Brewers can look to figure out what they want to do? Maybe go acquire somebody. And what would that take to do so? Now, there are three names I've seen very popular popping up across some of the interwebs, if you will. But let's just go one by one. These three guys that I've seen, I think you're going to understand where we're going with this. Just on a scale of 1 to 10, do I think that they would be a fit? Now, this isn't predicting, ooh, yeah, go get that guy. Yeah, they're definitely going to get it because I said this guy's a 10. Also, none of these guys are going to be a 10. But predicting the fit. Like, does this make sense? Is this a Brewers-esque move? So let's start with the lowest end of the spectrum here. And let's start with Nolan Arenado. No, it's not going to happen. He's still owed about $21 million a year over the next 3 years. Granted, $10 million of that is being paid by the Colorado Rockies, which, shout out to the Rockies, I guess. But, again, this is age 34, 35, and 36 for a defense first third baseman. Now, I say defense first because it hasn't been a great offensive season for him the last season and a half or so for Nolan Arenado. He's coming off the worst season in his career. He played through some injuries. I'll give him credit for that. But generally, players don't find the fountain of youth at this age of their careers. And furthermore, the money factor of this really makes this a non-starter for me. So this on a scale of 1 to 10, this is practically a 0 or a 1. I mean, if we have to follow the rules here, it's not happening. Okay, now, the guy in the middle here that I could think about is Ha-Sung Kim. Now, what Ha-Sung Kim would be doing, now, he's a free agent. The catch, though, is he is recovering from labrum surgery, an injury that he sustained last August. He did not immediately get surgery, though, which likely puts his opening day out of the question. And it's been very vague from the Padres and from Scott Boras' camp of what Kim's availability and what his current status is going to be heading into 2025. And I can hear you thinking, well, Dom, well, why would they be interested in damaged goods? Because it's cheaper. Because the Brewers got a discount on Rhys Hoskins. Because the Brewers are able to get a discount on a guy like Ha-Sung Kim, who, by the way, is a Gold Glove caliber defender at shortstop. And you could keep Joey Ortiz at third base. However, let's assume he's not available until mid-May, late May. Okay, well, Joey's going to be playing shortstop, and maybe you survive with Sal Frelick at third base and a platoon of Sal Frelick and insert utility infielder here, like Andrew Monasterio or Vinny Capp or whatever you, Oliver Dunn, whatever you decide to ultimately do until Kim gets healthy. And because he's coming off of an injury, it could make him a little bit cheaper. And we know the Brewers' reputation with finding defensive stars. And it's not like he's a slouch with the bat either. I mean, Ha-Sung Kim, coming over from the KBO a couple of years ago after the 2020 season in the KBO, over his career, he's amassed 15 wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. That's in 4 years. And he's played all over the infield. His best position is shortstop. I would not see the Brewers putting him to third base. I could see them putting him to shortstop. And then, by the way, he hit 17 home runs in a healthy 2023 in which he played 152 games. He hit 11 this year, but he had his season cut short by 40 games. Batting average was way down this year. There were some injuries in there too earlier in the season, all for the reasons that we mentioned earlier in the year. He also has a great strike zone discipline, 58 walks to 77 strikeouts rate-wise. That's a 12% walk rate and only a 16% strikeout rate. Both great, great above average numbers. So I think on the scale of 1 to 10, how much of a fit is this to get Ha-Sung Kim to be a Brewer? I'd give this a 5. I mean, this is a 4 to a 5 to me. The injury concern is the number one thing. However, if Scott Boras, you know, stands on his soapbox in the winter meetings next month and sits there and says, yeah, he's already playing catch again. You know, he's already resuming baseball activities. Remember, Garrett Mitchell had the same injury 2 years ago. He sustained that injury in late April. He returned to minor league rehab games in September. He was ultimately not added to the postseason roster in 2023, but he was available if the Brewers wanted to go with him. So you would figure, okay, maybe April, maybe May for Ha-Sung Kim. Now, finally, this is one that I could see being a fit, but I don't know about the pay. I don't know about the Brewers' desire to make a trade, and that is Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm, in a report this week out of, I believe it was John Heyman who wrote about this, that the Phillies are looking to shake things up. They're in kind of like the end of their window in their view right now. Now, they've already extended Wheeler. They've already extended Nola. Their bullpen needs to be figured out after Strom and Hoffman kind of, you know, spit the bit there at the end. And Hoffman is getting looks around the league as maybe as a starter. So do you make a trade for 1 year surplus relievers to them to get 2 years of Alec Bohm? He's in arbitration right now, so he's going to get more expensive. He was paid $4 million last year. That's going to go up this year given he is an all-star and had a great year. There's the defensive question. You know, he's kind of the opposite of what we just talked about with Ha-Sung Kim of being a defensive-minded player. He's not. He's not been a defensive-minded player. DRS had him at a zero this year for third base, which is the best of his career. And if you remember in 2023, the key error he made against the Brewers in September while they were in the pennant race, and that led to a comeback win for the Crew, they would need some help with some defense. However, the dude can hit, man. The dude can really hit and doesn't strike out a lot, needs to work on the defense, 2 years of control. And furthermore, hey, you pay for 1 year of arbitration for Alec Bohm and you make a trade. You know who I'm going to say. It's Devin. But let's say Brock Wilkin just tears the cover off the ball in double and triple A in 2025, and he's clearly getting close to being ready. Right? He played in the Fall League, just finishing things up in the Arizona Fall League right now. He's going to look forward to having a healthy season in 2025 after getting hit in the face. He's your top third base prospect right now. Or Tyler Black takes leaps and bounds at third base. He's an internal option if they want to put him back to third base to figure out what they want to do with him. And you acquired Alec Bohm. Who says you have to keep him all the way to term? You can trade him, too, after 1 year as well. I give this fit a 7 because it fits multiple needs. Left side defender, third base, power hitter. And by all accounts, you know, obviously Reese is a big part of what he learned in Philadelphia and how to be a big leaguer and be accountable in the big leagues. Like, we all saw the viral moment back in 2021. I hate this place with some choice words in there. And Kyle Schwarber and Reese Hoskins were leaders of trying to, you know, bring him under their wings. Say, hey, man, just own this. And he got better from there. So I could see that as a 7. That doesn't mean it's the likelihood that it's going to happen. I just think it's a great fit. And the Brewers have something the Phillies need, and the Phillies have something the Brewers need. So, hey, Dombrowski, what's up, man? You want to make a trade? I know you do. So he always tends to. Let's talk a little bit more about the rest of the offseason, awards week up next, and some other dominoes that need to fall before, you know, we know Willie's going to get traded. But what are other things that we're keeping an eye on for the Brewers this offseason? That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Cutronio. Let's talk a little bit about the other fish to fry here in the 2024 offseason for the Brewers. We've talked plenty about Willie in previous podcast episodes, and there will be plenty more to talk about Willie in the future. We just talked a little bit about the left side of the infield, but what are the other things that we're going to be monitoring come at the winter meetings in a little less than a month's time of what the Brewers are shopping around for? What could they be looking for? What are the other needs of this team? And shockingly, one of the things they'll not be looking for, at least at this point, is starting pitching. Now, you can never have enough pitching. Don't get me wrong on that. But we just talked about the fact that you could have a couple of 40-man guys added to your roster that could impact your team. You know, guys like Logan Henderson. We imagine Jacob Mizorowski is going to be a factor at some point in 2025, while you have Robert Gasser rehabbing from Tommy John surgery. I don't know how much of a factor he's going to be in 2025, given he had the surgery in the middle of the summer. Does he come back in August, or do you just, if there's any setback, it's like, hey, just shut her down, and we'll see you in 2026. So that's all on the table. But those are, you know, the back end, the guys that we're not even relying on, per se. Whereas, you know, these are the Tobias Myers category of weren't really on the radar heading into the year. So, I mean, right now, assuming Brandon Woodruff is healthy, assuming Freddie Peralta is back, I mean, they already picked up the team option on him, but assuming he's going to be himself and be Freddie Peralta. So it'll be Woody, Peralta, Tobias Myers. They've already declined the team option on Colin Ray, but that does not mean he's gone. Perhaps they're just trying to make sure they have space here at the Rule 5 draft. They need to protect somebody, or if they got a trade on the works, and then they can still ultimately re-sign him. He is a free agent at this point. Anybody can sign him right now. But that's three guys right there I just named with Woodruff, Peralta, Myers. They've made every indication that Aaron Ashby is going to be stretched out again and tried to be a starter. Same with DL Hall. Okay, that's five names right there that we're monitoring to say, okay, they could be starters on this team. Other guys on the 40-man roster that, you know, I know Carlos Rodriguez didn't have a great first taste of the big leagues, and he wasn't super brilliant, at least down when he went back down to AAA, but maybe a fresh start could help him. He is depth at this point, and there's nothing wrong with having depth. And oh, by the way, you've still got one more year of Aaron Civale as of now, unless the Brewers decide to make a trade, given they have so much starting pitching depth at this point. But I mean, right now, the five, if I'm rolling out on opening day, it goes Woodruff, it goes Peralta, it goes Myers, it goes Civale, it goes Ashby. And you know what? I probably put Hall in there too. Six-man rotation to start the year. See which one you want to keep. These things tend to work themselves out. Then you've got to decide in your bullpen, all right, Devin's going to be shopped. Trevor McGill's your closer, right? I mean, he's got plenty of years of control still remaining. You can imagine you've got McGill, you've got Pyomps, you've got Mears, you've got Koenig, you've got Hudson, you've got Craig Yoho on the way. That's another guy I haven't said yet. He doesn't need to be protected on the 40-man, but he is probably going to factor in. We'll see him in spring training this year, too. There are options to choose from on the bullpen side. It's like, all right, well, choose which one do we want, and this is going to be a six-man rotation, and you take one less from the starting rotation, or six-man rotation, one less from the bullpen, or do you keep a traditional five-man and keep DL Hall or Aaron Ashby as a swingman that keeps you with the full, you know, eight-man bullpen? These are the decisions that we'll be monitoring, because it's suddenly the bullpen that's a little thinner than usual, but we say this every year, and then they pull a rabbit out of the hat, and here's Jared Koenig, and here's Brian Hudson, and here's so-and-so that's going to come in and throw leverage innings for you that you were not expecting. So I think, to me, there are locks, right? Catcher, locked. First base, locked. Second base, locked. Left side, T. TBD. Outfield locked, right? Yelly, Churio, Frelick, Mitchell, Perkins. You're locked. And then you got to figure out where's Black going to play. Do you re-sign Eric Haas? There's not as many questions as usual. And I remember saying this at some point last season. Oh, you think the team's young this year, as in 2024? Just wait till next year when they're even younger, right? You can envision a lineup where you've got Joey Ortiz at short. And let's go ahead and throw, you know, Sal Frelick at third. Let's say Reese is DHing, so Tyler Black is playing first. And Terang's at second. Contreras still behind the plate. And the outfield has Yelly in left and Mitchell in center and Churio in right. Like, wow, that's a young team still and all controllable. So I don't see a lot of massive moves on the way for the Brewers. I mean, the Devin Williams conundrum is the conundrum of this offseason for the Crew. And that's what I think that movement's going to happen probably during the winter meetings, if that happens at all. Or it's like last year where it comes like right when you let your guard down, when you're like a week until spring training, when the move is made like it was last year with Corbin Burnes. We shall see. Take a breather. Come back with more. Let's update you on the all-MLB teams. More on that in a moment on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. We got some breaking news. Positive stuff from Las Vegas. The all-MLB awards. They're wrapping up things at the Cosmopolitan now. William Contreras, first team all-MLB. Congratulations to William in a career year. Here's the company that he shares first team all MLB. The outfielders, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. The infielders, Jose Ramirez, Bobby Witt Jr., Ketel Marte, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The DH, Shohei Ohtani. The starting pitcher, Chris Sale. The relievers, Emmanuel Clase and Ryan Helsley. Also starting pitchers include Tarek Skubal, Paul Skenes, Corbin Burnes, and Zach Wheeler. And your first team All-MLB catcher is Milwaukee Brewers backstop William Contreras. And a reminder, the Brewers gave up Esteury Ruiz to receive William Contreras and Yoel Piamps and another minor leaguer in the system right now by the name of Justin Yeager. They give up one player, got three, and now, 2 years later, they have an All-MLB backstop in William Contreras. Trust Matt Arnold in the front office, y'all. They know what they're doing. What a steal. So congratulations to William. He is the first Brewer to be named to the All-MLB team since Christian Yelich in 2019 in the first year of this version of the award. So fun times, to say the least, for William. We talked about it in spring training. The Mamba Challenge, if you will, if you're not familiar. The Mamba Challenge used to be Kobe Bryant giving challenges to NBA players, and one that's been very popular here in Milwaukee is, of course, the one he gave to Giannis Antetokounmpo, where he would give these sort of, hey, go get this. Can you go get an MVP? Can you go get me Defensive Player of the Year? Can you be top two team all defense? Whatever. You know, a list of awards or accolades that he wanted you to get. So the Brewers in spring training, on the big whiteboard that sits in Pat Murphy's office in spring training, there was, in his handwriting, in Pat Murphy's handwriting, it said, you know, Mamba Challenge WC, William Contreras. Line, and then here's the things. Gold Glove, didn't happen this year. Top five MVP, could happen. He's not a top three, but he could be top five. Silver Slugger, check. I just see a dude that has had a career year and has checked off two or three of those boxes. It's impressive. Put his money where his mouth was. I've just been at awe at sometimes the stubbornness, but it's also the drive of a competitor. He didn't want to come out of the lineup at all this year. And I think next year he'll learn, like, okay, hey, it's okay if I can take a few days off, like he was starting to do in the second half of the season, trying to make sure everything was right. William Contreras, first team, all MLB. I got one quick gripe, though, about this all-MLB team and about what it means across Major League Baseball and how some of the awards voting is just kind of all kind of wonky. Second team reliever, so there's two relievers, first team, second team. Second team reliever, Mason Miller of the Oakland A's, was named second team all MLB, but he was not named top three American League rookie of the year. Instead, that went Colton Cowser, Luis Gil, and Austin Wells. I can hear even on Willie Abreu making it top three. I've said this last week's show. I can't give an award to the guy that led Major League Baseball in walks. I just can't. I'm sorry. I also can't give an award to Austin Wells, whose offensive numbers leave a lot to be desired. If you dropped Austin Wells in Kansas City, and with all due respect to Kansas City and with all due respect to Austin Wells, a 102 OPS plus, so 2 points above league average, a 229 batting average, a sub 400 slugging, he hit 13 homers. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Automatically, East Coast, like, oh, you played on the East Coast. Mason, he's a closer. He doesn't count on the dude. Austin Wells played 113 games. What? This dude just got second team all MLB as a reliever, as a rookie. He broke an Oakland A's rookie record for saves in a season. You know how many great closers have pitched for the Oakland A's? Come on. That dude's top three, and quite frankly, he should have been number one. He would have been my vote if I had one, but nonetheless, I do not have one. That's my one little gripe with that. That's it. Just weird to me. Awards week is next week. We'll wrap up the program with some social media thoughts, get you ready for our upcoming schedule here on WTMJ. Man, it's good to be back here live on the air. So thanks for joining us. Take a breather. Come back with our last segment after this. Last couple minutes of the program. I'm Dom Catronio. Back next week, same time, same place. 8 o'clock right here on your home of the Brewers. And again, you can always catch all of these shows live, or rather in podcast form. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Real quick, we've seen a mass exodus today on social media of people leaving Twitter or X, whatever the heck we call it these days, over to Blue Sky. I am not going to be one of those people that goes to Blue Sky. I think the world needs less social media, not more social media. So I will go down with the ship as it sinks. Maybe we'll have some more written content here on WTMJ. We're workshopping that right now here for the 2025 season, what our content goals are for next year. And it's not just written content. There's some other goals that I have to share what I observed during the game with you. So maybe we bring back the old school message board live chat room type stuff, as opposed to just tweeting out to the void or Blue Sky. I don't even know what you call it on Blue Sky. But I just think that we don't need more copycats. Like, people are trying to make Threads a thing. Like, let's not. Like, guys, we don't need more of this. Social media is not real. It's just go touch some grass, go feel the rain, go touch some snow in a couple months. Like, social media, sports Twitter is great. I love NBA Twitter. It was electric last night with Giannis dropping 59, and I'm not even a Bucks fan, and that was pretty sweet. But I am going to miss the community aspect of it all. I'll stick with Twitter. You can find me there for now, but I'm not going to Blue Sky. If you see somebody on Blue Sky that's being me, that's not me. You heard that straight from the horse's mouth. So real quick, as we get ready to wrap things up, a reminder, you can get ready on Brewers All Access. Follow, subscribe to that feed. You can get the episodes automatically downloaded. We'll have a year in review episode coming up right around Thanksgiving that's meant to be scheduled around your Thanksgiving travels. If you're on a long plane ride, you can just pop this in and enjoy it and hopefully have a smile on your face. And the same plan will be coming for the top 10 games of the year right around Christmas travels and everything that's supposed to be with that. Say, hey, let's listen back to some of the games. Now, I do want to say right off the top here, though, and I'll say this in that show, too. The game two of the wild card, it's not going to be eligible. Like, I mean, yeah, because everyone would vote that to be number one. I think I know what the number one, and it's going to be a pretty easy consensus. How else will I fill it up? You'll have to wait and see. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.